The little girl said, "Mom, gray is the color of depression."
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoorah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by learning about how the Bob Woodruff Foundation takes care of vets. Then my West Point classmate Carl Dye will inform us about the House of Onions. And Dr. Jeff Kirchner from the Eisenhower Center. And after the impact, we'll discuss traumatic brain injury. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show a fellow veteran, Sam Kelly. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Sam.
Oh, thanks for having me, Colonel.
Sam, I know you're a veteran. Talk to us about your service. Why'd you join? What'd you do?
For me, it was a pretty easy choice. I'm actually a third-generation Marine veteran. So grew up with the military in my blood, so to speak, and when I graduated high school, went to the Marine Corps. That was back in the 90s when I was much younger and thinner and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And active duty in the 90s and then in the reserves for a few years after that, but spent most of that activated after 9/11.
Have you deployed since 9/11?
Well, I had hoped to, like everyone else, go to Afghanistan, but the Marine Corps had other plans, and I ended up actually going to South America on a Navy ship to do training with our partners down there.
You know, the rule is you ask for what you want, you take what you get, and you
exactly.
smile and say, yes, sir, right?
Exactly.
Being a Marine is part of the tradition of your family. That's a great tradition. More families should have it, but it certainly affects who you are. Okay, you are now working with the Woodruff Foundation. Talk to us about what you do and what the overall mission of the Woodruff Foundation is.
Sure. So the Bob Woodruff Foundation, some of your listeners might recognize that name. Bob is a ABC News journalist. And in 2006, he was reporting from Iraq and unfortunately was nearly killed by a roadside bomb. And thanks to the medics on the ground, military doctors, he survived after a long recovery. But fortunately, you know, that experience, being in the same hospital with wounded soldiers and Marines, the family really wanted to make sure that they could use the attention that they got being journalists and refocus that attention back on the military members who were injured because they knew they'd be okay when they went home. They wanted to make sure that as the veterans returned home that they were cared for and had all the resources they needed. So 12 years later, we are still here. We've invested $45 million to find, fund, and shape the best programs out there that meet the needs of post-9/11 veterans as well as their families.
You know, that's a really noble, worthy, and incredibly important function because it's so easy for someone, once you get out of the military, you salute and you're gone and you're not a soldier, sailor, Marine, airman anymore, and you don't have a chain of command and you don't have somebody who's there to care for you. And while the VA can and does do some good work on times, there really isn't something there when you have a need.
Especially
your old squad or team or commander or whomever, they're gone.
Yep, and when you consider the fact that less than 1% of our nation is serving the military today in the all-volunteer force. People don't have connections to the military that they did decades ago in prior wars. So when a veteran goes home, it can be a lonely experience trying to find a job, take care of your family. And if you're injured, it just adds to those troubles. So that's what we're there for, to make sure that we can not replace services that are being provided by the VA and the government, but to really complement the services out there so that we're really taking care of the veteran and their family in a really holistic way.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. If you and I were both hurt veterans, your needs might be different than mine. A one-size-fits-all solution isn't the right answer, is it?
No, it isn't. You know, when you consider that there are different types of injuries, you know, we hear about it in the news all the time. There are a number of veterans who might have mental health issues like post-traumatic stress, whereas you have other veterans, you know, nearly 1,700 who have amputated limbs as a result of IED explosions. So the needs are different for everyone, and there are a lot of great programs out there. There are more than 40,000 programs in this country that serve veterans and their families in one way or the other. A lot of them are really good, some not so good. And so what we really do is we make it easy for the public, for companies to, you know, who say, I want to help veterans, but how do I do it? And so with our team, we really see who the best organizations are, what the best programs are. We find them, talk to them, you know, and we evaluate the work they're doing. And we also look at what the needs are, because the needs shift with time. You know, as the earlier days of the foundation, obviously still combat was really heavy at the time, had a lot of troops coming home with amputations, traumatic brain injuries, et cetera. As we've gotten a little further away from major combat, now veterans they're going to school on the GI Bill, but when they get out, they're looking for jobs now, and they need help with different programs to help them get into the job market and to stay in a job once they get there. So the needs change. So we constantly are looking at what the needs are, the most pressing needs, and how we can best help our veterans in those various needs.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the role the Bob Woodruff Foundation plays in helping veterans get back into real life. You've got a big event coming up in a couple, 3 months on the West Coast. Talk to us about that.
Sure. So we're going to have an event called Stand Up for Heroes Bay Area that's going to take place May 17th in San Francisco at the Masonic Theater. And what it's going to be is a night of comedy and music that celebrates and honors our wounded veterans and their families. And it's modeled after an event we've been doing for 11 years now. This November will be our 12th year of doing it in New York City at the theater at Madison Square Garden. And over the years, we've had entertainers like Bruce Springsteen and Jon Stewart and John Oliver and Conan O'Brien and Jerry Seinfeld, you name it, all the top comedians in the country, who come out, donate their time to tell jokes, you know, offer a few laughs for those who are still might be recovering from their wounds while helping raise money to fund the work that we do.
This is a fundraiser, isn't it? This is one of the ways you get the money to keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
If somebody was going to be in or wanted to go, how would they plug in, find out, get tickets, whatever?
Well, we're still working on who the talent will be, and we'll probably go on sale for the event middle of March, but people can go to our website, bobwitterfoundation.org, and sign up for updates, and when tickets go on sale, they'll know and be able to get their tickets and know that their ticket is a charitable deduction that is helping our veterans and their families.
Now, you're also accepting donations from individuals, corporations, and other groups. So the Bob Woodruff Foundation, this is not just their only source of income. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do that on the website too, can't they?
Yep, they can go to the website and donate. And we also ask people to help tell our story, become one of our brand ambassadors. You know, follow us online, on Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, help share our messages. You know, the fact that we're an organization that was founded by a journalist, storytelling is very important to us, and keeping the stories of our heroes out there is really important, especially when you think about the fact we've been at war for more than 16 years now, and it almost seems like it's the forever war, as some people dub it, and sometimes it's the forgotten war. We need to remember that we still have troops that are in harm's way in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and all around the world. And so our mission doesn't end, and we can use all the help we can get.
Wow. One more time, Sam, what's the website?
Our website is bobwoodrufffoundation.org.
Sam, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for sharing the good news about the Bob Woodruff Foundation and how they are going the extra mile to give the extra care to vets that each one needs. I really appreciate that attitude that they bring to the situation. Thank you for making time to join us today.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, we'll talk about the House of Onions with Army vet Carl Dye. Then we'll discuss traumatic brain injury with Dr. Jeff Kirchner. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Hit the deck, troops, right now and do an easy, slow 35 one-handed push-ups with each hand. I want you lean and mean. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Want an easy way to brighten up your day? Get beautiful new window fashions from the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America, Budget Blinds. It's easy because Budget Blinds does it all for you with style and service for every budget. We're your neighborhood experts, and we bring the showroom right to your home. Then expertly measure, install, and back it up with the best warranty in the business. Right now, we make it easier than ever with savings up to $500 on select window coverings. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. See for yourself. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for a free consultation right at home. Call and get savings up to $500, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS, or go online to budgetblinds.com. Brighten up your day the easy way. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Huntington County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Offices located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. It's a pleasure now to welcome to the show my West Point classmate, Carl Dye. After his service to our nation, Carl has become involved in a very interesting outfit called the House of Onions. Yes, I'll ask him to explain what they do. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Carl.
Well, this is an exciting thing for me, Danny. It's neat being talking to an old classmate. Well, not old, but a friendly classmate. And I would like to say this is an opportunity I'm really looking forward to.
Hey, I understand, and we are not old. I have defined old age as my age plus 10. So it's a variable constant, and so I'm getting older but never old.
Very good. I'd like to adopt that if you don't mind.
Hey, footnote it the first time. After that, it's yours.
All right.
Carl, talk about your time in the military. Why'd you go to West Point?
Well, you know, I was raised in the Army. I was an Army brat, and in fact, it was my eighth grade graduation. They have these projections about what you're going to do. I was projecting graduating from the Naval Academy. And I think my dad read that and had major cardiac arrest. And long story short, in my high school in France, I went to school in Paris, France, with an American school there. And I think out of our school, we had like eight or nine guys that ended up at West Point. By the time I was a senior, the only thing that I did wrong was I waited too long to apply. So I ended up going to LSU for 1 year, and in the meantime applied. And well, I'm actually glad it worked out that way because I ended up in the class of 64, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me, quite honestly.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I went to 2 years of college before I got to West Point, and hey, we had great classmates, particularly the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what'd you do in the Army?
Well, I did the usual thing when we graduated and went to Airborne Rangers. First assignment was 101st. Jumped out of the airplane in 12 months. I think I jumped out 20 times or something like that. I love jumping out of airplanes. Don't ask me why. But the fact is, when I got my orders, it was to the 25th Division. When I left the 101st, I went to Hawaii with about another 8 or 10 of our classmates to the 25th, and we were assigned various or sundry things as second lieutenants. We all got first lieutenant bars while we were there. And when we went to Vietnam, I went over as a liaison officer in the S3 operation. Was there for about four or five months before we got promoted to captain. And when I got promoted to captain, I was assigned to what they call the Lightning Ambush Academy, which was really a good way for me to use my Ranger skills, you might say. I ended up training the new guys coming into country. We trained them in the art of ambush, and we also used live fire exercises as our graduation present. So it was very interesting. While I was there, I lost probably the best friend I ever had at West Point, K.B. Kendallberger, and basically, I don't know, it made me think about my life and my career, and I ended up making a request for transfer to Transportation Corps. And in doing so, they picked me up as a West Point graduate and put me in the career course when I came back from Vietnam. So when I finished that, I stayed on as the company commander of the student officer company there, and then General Redling, who was the commanding general of the Transportation Center, picked me up as a general's aide de camp. So I was in a pretty good situation, and my youngest son was born, and we found it later, actually, when I was in Vietnam with the 1st Log Command on my second tour, that he was deaf. And basically, I decided that knowing what it's like to be a military brat, that if he needed special education, going from one post to another over a 30-year period of time would not do him any good. So I opted to resign, and that's pretty much it. There are parts of me that would have loved to stay in. The other part of me says I did the right thing. He graduated from Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., which is a university for the deaf. So the decision was a good one for me and for my son. So
Now, those are the kind of decisions to make, and family really does come first. And you're crazy if you don't do it that way, don't you think?
Well, it's got to be that way. You know, I guess God should come first in our lives and followed right behind that by family. I mean, as close as possible.
Yes.
We have to look to the Almighty, in my opinion, for everything we do. And it's pretty much been the way I followed my life. When one door closes, I've always found another one that was open. Sometimes it was a small door, but it was an opportunity, and I always took advantage of it.
Amen, brother. That is absolutely true, and I could not agree more with you. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're talking with my West Point classmate, Carl Dye. Okay, Carl, the House of Onions. What is it? How do you get involved? What do they do?
It's a fantastic story. Again, this comes from on high, because about 8 years ago, 2010 or so, we had a young priest come to our little parish here in Concho, Arizona. He was from India. He was a missionary on a missionary assignment. He was here for 12 months, but it made a huge impression on virtually anybody that ever met him. After going back to India and then spending time in language schools and going to Italy for another missionary job, he called me from Italy and he said, "I'm going back home very soon, but I'd like to visit my friends in Concho one more time. Would you sponsor me for a 10-day trip?" And being naive as I was, I said, "Of course." It was a wonderful 10 days. On my way back to the airport in Phoenix, he said, "Oh, I have a favor to ask of you." And he pulled a manila folder out of his briefcase and said, "Would you read this and tell me what you think?" And it was his story about the House of Onions. When he was a young priest, at that point in time, 25 or so years before, a woman had come up to him after the mass was over with and gave him a bowl of onions. The bowl of onions, he said, "Well, what's this for?" And he says, "Well, onions make everything taste better, and you've made our lives so much better with your masses and your homilies." And she said, "But I have a favor to ask of you." And he said, "What's that?" He says, "My son is only a couple of years old. His father just died of the AIDS virus, and I will be dead within 6 months. Would you take care of him for me when I'm gone?" And, of course, he said yes, not knowing what he was getting into. But at that point in time, it registered in him a mission for the future. In a long story short, he decided to do this House of Onions. There is a huge AIDS epidemic in the country of India. Thousands and thousands of children become AIDS victims and either become orphaned due to the AIDS virus because they lose their parents due to the AIDS virus. And we started this program back in 2014. We finished construction, the physical structure, and then we're doing the inside work. Probably have another $50,000 in work to do. We've built this thing in the last 3 years with about 70 donors, and we've been looking for more, obviously. The idea is that we try to put every penny we get into our project. What I'm talking about is this year in 2017, that is, our expense ratio was 0.32%. We only spend money that we get. If we have an expense, for example, the creation of the legal fees that you have to pay and the website development, that kind of stuff, it definitely is the only true expenses we have. We don't charge anything. There's no fees. There's no parties. There's no benefits to being on the board other than the fact you get a chance to help some people half a world away. And we look forward to completing this down the road. The best thing for anybody to do, because I know I'm running short of time, is to look at the website, which is www.houseofonions.org. And that gives you the whole story as to including the last 3 years of quarterly reports. Other than that, they can get a hold of me based upon the website, my email addresses, and it gives you all my telephone numbers and everything else. Anybody is free to call me. We're open to inspection at any time. The IG can come visit us if he wants to.
Carl, that's awesome. And folks, if you lose any of that information, contact me. I can get hold of Carl for you. Carl, thank you for taking time to join us today. And thank you for your service to our nation, and thank you for what you're doing now, that you didn't stop serving.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Denny. Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll talk traumatic brain injury with Dr. Jeff Kirchner, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. Troops do 150 jumping jacks, then take a break and do 50 more, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This message is brought to you by GSK. According to the CDC, we are in the midst of a very active flu season, with much of the country having experienced widespread and intense flu activity. While relatively rare, the flu can lead to hospitalization and death. Since 2010, annual flu-related deaths during regular flu seasons have ranged from 12,000 to 56,000. Cerise Murata, Chief Operating Officer of Families Fighting Flu and a GSK spokesperson, lost her son Joseph to flu in 2009 when he was only 5.
It wasn't until after losing Joseph to the flu that I realized how serious flu could be. People, for the most part, think flu is just a bad cold. They don't understand how serious it can be, how critically important it is for everyone 6 months and older to be vaccinated against the flu every year. And that's why my mission really is to spread that awareness in hopes that we can save some other families from experiencing similar tragedy.
Currently, the CDC recommends that all people over the age of 6 months get vaccinated against the flu annually. Visit the CDC's influenza website, flu.gov, for more information.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
President Trump calls for a solution on DACA, meeting with members of Congress today, saying he wants to protect dreamers but also tighten immigration rules and build a border wall. Republicans agree with that proposal, while Democrats only want a path to citizenship for dreamers. It's tense in the Middle East as our Secretary of State pays a visit.
The escalation of military clashes against Israel by the Iranian regime comes as Secretary of State Rex Tillerson lands in the Middle East to speak with Turkish leaders and discuss rebuilding efforts in Iraq. There's no word yet on whether Tillerson will address Iran's military infiltration in the region, which poses a direct threat to U.S. allies such as Israel or the Kurds, who have been targets of Iranian and Turkish military campaigns in Syria and Iraq.
That's Jennifer Breeden. Mainstream media outlets continue praising Kim Jong-un's sister at the 2018 Winter Olympics, commenting on her elegant demeanor and smile, but experts warn against that as she heads the regime's propaganda initiative, which has brainwashed its people. This is USA Radio News.
So 5 months ago, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, you want to try one out? Let us know what you think. Hey, it's a pillow. But I tried it. What have you got to lose? Tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know you need MyPillow. Well, not MyPillow, but your own MyPillow. See, it stays cool all night, keeps its shape, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't like it? Return it. And a 10-year warranty. What pillow have you got that has a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow in your washer, dryer, and it's like new again. Try doing that with your dollar store pillow and see what happens. And by the way, it's made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and use promo code USA.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Troops, welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who died while serving our country in uniform, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. Now I'm glad to welcome to the show Dr. Jeffrey Kuchner. He's a MD who's done a lot of things, but his specialty, or the specialty of his that I'm interested in, is traumatic brain injury. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Jeff.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jeff, did you always want to be a doctor? Did you grow up wanting that? How did you end up, one, through medical school, and two, in your specialty?
You know, I would say that I did not know I wanted to be a doctor until I had been out in the real world. Actually, I took a bit of a different route to medical school. I worked first after college and before medical school, which most folks go straight through. I always knew I wanted to work to help people. That's something that I've always wanted to do. I learned through my experiences, though, that really the brain, the human brain, is what makes people people. It is, you know, the part of them that makes, it's your soul, it's your memory, it's everything. And so I quickly understood that if I really wanted to help people, that meant studying how the brain worked, understanding what happens to it when it's injured, and different disease processes. And so I applied myself really to medical school for the purposes of being able to take care of the brains of people.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I've had three joint replacements, and I told my doc, if something else wears out, I want to go for a total body transplant. You guys don't do that yet, do you?
Well, that's exactly right. That's a great point. You know, we can replace almost every part of your body. We can't replace your brain. So I think that just underscores the importance of this issue.
Well, good point. And one of the premier places in America that helps people who have traumatic brain injury is the Eisenhower Center and their, I guess, major subdivision, After the Impact. You work with them. Talk to us about Eisenhower Center and After the Impact.
You know, it's a really unique program, a great program. I'm absolutely honored to have the opportunity to help. So the Eisenhower Center teamed up with After the Impact and other sponsors to really create a very unique program that cares for veterans as well as former athletes who have had a history of traumatic brain injury, as well as other things that may be affecting how they're doing in life. And I think it's one of the important messages here is traumatic brain injury does not, I would say it's infrequent that it comes just by itself. There are other things that play into what makes a person have issues, you know, in their life. So the Eisenhower Center is set up really to address all of those. It's a comprehensive program that looks not only at the history of traumatic brain injury, but other things that may be contributing. I'm a neurologist. I take care, like I said before, of, you know, the brain health of individuals. And so I apply that expertise. That's my piece of the puzzle that goes into the Eisenhower Center, but that also includes the larger pieces of general medicine and psychiatry and counseling and all sorts of other programs.
Yeah, we really are a complex thing, and if you that's like I'm going to fix your car and all I'm going to do is change the tire. That doesn't do the total job, does it?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Now, the Eisenhower Center has a facility in Florida that is basically 100% After the Impact, and you're involved with them, aren't you?
I am.
And I understand that the major focus is on professional athletes, combat veterans, and I think now they're looking at first responders too.
That's exactly right. You know, I think you think of those three groups, there are a lot of things they have in common, but some things they have that are unique to each other as well. So what I found to be one of the absolutely most rewarding aspects of the Eisenhower program is when you put people together who have similarities but differences that they can learn from each other. You put a former NFL player in with a former Special Forces soldier, and just as an example, I mean, the perspectives that they help each other out a lot, and I think that's just an incredible opportunity for them to help each other out and get better.
Well, and helping each other out means moving towards healing, and that's the goal of this whole thing. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing traumatic brain injury, particularly the healing part of it, with Dr. Jeff Kushner. So, Jeff, let's talk about traumatic brain injury.
Sure.
You know, if I break my arm, it's pretty easy to diagnose and it's pretty easy to fix. If there are some complications, you know what they are pretty much and you can deal with it. But a traumatic brain injury is quite a different thing as far as diagnosing and treating and even symptoms. Am I right?
You are right. You know, I think one of the things that leads to that is how difficult it is to examine the brain of a living person, right? So, in other words, you know, I can examine your knee and your shoulder and your heart with tests that really get at the function of those parts of your body. But to get at the function of your brain, that's a much, much more complicated process. So having the expertise to be able to, you know, evaluate that is really, you know, a special part of medicine.
And because if five people came in, all of whom had experienced the same explosion, you could have five totally different responses and five totally different paths to healing, couldn't you?
That's absolutely right. You know, one of the things we say to our patients all the time is how you are doing as the result of any traumatic brain injury is as much about your brain as it went into that scenario as it was the scenario itself. So understanding some of the things, whether it's, you know, genetic predispositions for certain types of symptoms or other diagnoses or previous head traumas that happened before a significant injury. Understanding all of that gives you some perspective on how different these injuries can be from one person to the next.
And I would imagine that they can be complicated by and maybe interchangeable with things like post-traumatic stress?
No question. Or even really just some of the other more common things. So people that come into our clinic also have the same issues that non-veterans and non-athletes have, meaning poor sleep, problems perhaps with depression or substance use or you name it. And all those things interact to really create a very unique presentation for every patient.
So you're really looking at this not just from the physical side, but the psychiatric side, from perhaps even a spiritual side, if you're going to try to get as complete a picture as you can?
Well, that's right. Yeah, I think everybody obviously has a different level of spirituality or however you want to describe it, or there's psychology, there's psychiatry as well. And if I'm going to do what I can to take care of my patient, that means getting to know them on all those levels and addressing them as a complete package.
Now, part of it, I'm sure, is physical. If my brain got banged around inside my head, there can be bleeding, there can be that sort of thing. But the fruit of that can be a behavior change, can't it?
It sure can. And that's one of the things that we look at very closely after doing a very comprehensive history. And not only of the one or two or three, episodes that are very clearly brain injuries, but let's talk about all the other things that have gone on, whether it's through your training or your sports days or what have you. Let's look at that in totality and then do studies to see, has there been a structural change to the brain? Because that would be helpful for us to know when we're putting together a treatment plan.
Okay. The bottom line is, I'm sure there are some people that are so hurt that they have to be treated more medically because of damage to their brain. But I would suspect that the average person, the average person has to learn to live with whatever their new symptoms are.
To a degree, but I think one of the most important messages that we can get across to people who are listening to this is you can get better, right? Can we get you back to 100%? Maybe not. Maybe we can. But there is absolutely room for improvement in every case that we have seen. And so we never want people to have sort of that feeling that, oh, my gosh, I've been damaged in the past by these things, and that's just my lot in life, and I've got to learn to live with it. I think that's the wrong approach. Obviously, there are things that, as we get older and as we experience life, things do become more difficult, and we do have to come to grips with our own mortality for sure. But, that's really the most important thing is if you're suffering from these issues, seek help and get the right care because you can get better.
I think that's a very good conclusion. If you decide you want to heal and you're going to do what it takes, you're going to get your life back with some modifications and maybe not. But life is still out there for you. All you got to do is go get it. Is that a good summary?
I think that's perfect.
Jeff, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. I really appreciate it. I think we've got a message here that the folks need to hear. Thank you.
Sure,
you're
very welcome. I'm honored to help, and thank you for having me.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be about 75 pounds by now, and do about 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease. Spartan Nash is proud to sponsor Front Lines of Freedom. As the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and exchanges in the world, our MDV military division exists to serve our military heroes and their families, both at home and abroad.
We see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it's our privilege to serve those who served at our 159 retail grocery stores and 2,100 independent locations in 47 states.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gill, and this is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me, Danny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Sam from Texas wrote that he really enjoyed hearing about the demilitarized zone in Korea and the fighting that goes on there. He knew nothing about that.
Sam, you're not alone. Very few people know about that nonstop fighting. Indeed, there's been a lot of interest expressed, so I'm inviting a friend who spent a full tour fighting that war to join us as a guest in the near future. So, you'll be learning more.
Connie wrote that while she's shopped in military commissaries for decades, she never thought about how they get the stuff they sell. She enjoyed the interview with Kathy from MDV.
Connie, thank you. Like you, throughout my military career, I never gave it any thought either. It's amazing what we don't know. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, I was enjoying the snow here in Michigan, and that reminded me of an incident the year before I entered West Point. After really messing up academically during my first year at junior college, I enrolled at New Mexico Military Institute in Roswell, New Mexico, junior college. My goal was to get focused and to get my academics back to where they needed to be. We lived in a barracks and wore uniforms everywhere. It was the environment that I needed. Our barracks was a hollow square with all the cadet rooms entered from inside the square. We had formations in the center of the square. One of my classmates was from Hawaii. He made it clear that he'd never been in snow and was nervous about walking or even being around it. Of course, it snowed that winter, and the first morning that we had a bunch of snow, a bunch of us charged his room, grabbed him, he was in his underwear, drug him outside and threw him in a snowbank. Fortunately for all of us, after the first shock, he laughed as much as we did, and since he was laughing, we allowed him to return to his room. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
On 13 February 1861, the earliest military action to be revered with a Medal of Honor award was performed by Colonel Bernard Irwin, an assistant Army surgeon serving in the first major U.S. Apache conflict. Near Apache Pass in southeastern Arizona, Irwin, an Irish-born doctor, volunteered to go to the rescue of 2nd Lieutenant George Bascom, who was trapped with 60 men of the 7th Infantry by the Chiricahua Apaches. Irwin and 14 men, initially without horses, began the 100-mile trek to Bascom's forces riding on mules. After fighting and capturing Apaches along the way and recovering stolen horses and cattle, they reached Bascom's forces on 14 February and proved instrumental in breaking the siege. The first U.S. Apache conflict had begun several days before when Cochise, the Chiricahua Apache chief, kidnapped 3 white men to exchange for his brother and 2 nephews held by the Army on false charges of stealing cattle and kidnapping a child. When the exchange was refused, Cochise killed the white men, and the Army responded by killing his relative, setting off the first of the Apache Wars. Although Irwin's bravery in this conflict was the earliest Medal of Honor action, the award itself was not created until 1862, and it was not until January 21, 1894, that Irwin received the nation's highest military honor.
And on 15 February 1898, a massive explosion of unknown origin sank the battleship USS Maine in Cuba's Havana Harbor, killing 260 of the fewer than 400 American crew members aboard. It was one of the first American battleships, and the Maine weighed over 6,000 tons and was built at a cost of over $2 million. Ostensibly on a friendly visit, the Maine had been sent to Cuba to protect the interests of Americans there after a rebellion against Spanish rule broke out in Havana in January. An official Naval Court of Inquiry ruled in March that the ship was blown up by a mine without directly placing the blame on Spain. Most of Congress and the majority of the American people expressed little doubt that Spain was responsible and called for a declaration of war. Subsequent diplomatic failures to resolve the Maine matter, coupled with U.S. indignation over Spain's brutal suppression of the Cuban Rebellion and continued losses to American investment, led to the outbreak of the Spanish-American War in April 1898. Within 3 months, the U.S. had decisively defeated Spanish forces on land and sea, and in August, an armistice halted the fighting. On December 12, 1898, the Treaty of Paris was signed, officially ending the war and granting the U.S. its first overseas empire, with the ceding of former Spanish possessions as Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Philippines. In May 1976, a team of American naval investigators concluded the Maine explosion was likely caused by a fire that ignited its ammunition stocks, not by a Spanish mine or act of sabotage.
On 12 February 1973, the release of U.S. POWs began in Hanoi as part of the Paris Peace Settlement, ending the Vietnam War. The return of U.S. POWs began when North Vietnam released 142 of 591 U.S. prisoners at Hanoi's GLAM Airport, part of what was called Operation Homecoming. The first 20 POWs arrived to a hero's welcome at Travis Air Force Base in California on 14 February. Operation Homecoming was completed on 29 March 1973, when the last prisoners were released and returned to the U.S.
And that's military history for today. Skip, Armed America time. Lead us out, boy.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, four would-be kidnappers' plans were thwarted when a father fired three rounds to scare off the troublemakers before they snatched his daughter. The father was alerted by dogs barking and a motion detector lights going on. He noticed a gang of males lurking near the garage trying to get inside the house. As the bullets flew, the suspects fled. When they were arrested later, the police found guns, knives, gloves, dark clothes, and a roll of tape in the vehicle. Apparently, the man's 17-year-old daughter was the kidnapper's target.
Thanks, Colonel. I did some research into this one, and it's quite an amazing story. Turns out the daughter was driving out of the neighborhood but was confronted with barrels blocking the exit. They had been put there by four teens in an attempt to kidnap her. But this young woman didn't leave her car as anticipated and simply drove around the barrels before calling her father and warning him of the mischief. This put the dad on high alert, who then discovered the four young men trying to break into his garage. This 51-year-old father, the daughter, and the community did some great things. Here they are. Number one, the father raised his daughter to be smart and always be on high alert. She didn't exit the vehicle like many people would have, and she immediately gave her father the intel he needed to protect himself. Two, the father had concentric rings of security around his home. The barking dogs, the motion sensor security lights, and his firearm all combined to make him a difficult target to successfully attack and overwhelm. Three, the neighborhood was organized and on high alert. Another homeowner nearby saw the suspicious teens and phoned in a tip to the sheriff's office with a description of their SUV. And four, the sheriff's office responded quickly and made a felony stop on the SUV, and all four teens were arrested and charged with attempted kidnapping and attempted robbery. I am very impressed with the performance of this small community. They worked together, the neighbors, the father, the daughter, and the police, and the outcome was four bad guys in prison instead of a father and daughter brutally murdered in their home. This Okaloosa County, Florida community was mentally prepared for danger as they practiced situational awareness and warrior mindset and knew exactly what to do when their home was invaded. Wouldn't it be great, Colonel, if all communities were like this?
I'd sure love to live in one that I knew was like that. That's the dream, isn't it?
It sure is.
Troops, remember this month we're starting our film review. I'll be assigning you a film to watch each month and give you a link to find it. You're invited to email in your comments and we'll review it on the last show of the month. The movie for this month is The Last Man Standing. Find the link at the blog on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Our book giveaway this week is Colonel Paul Tibbett's book, Flight of the Enola Gay. To get in on the drawing, email me, denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Enola Gay in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the challenge of cybersecurity with Army vet Tom Kelly. Then Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel and Attorney John Mayer will share more details about the wrongful jailing of former Lieutenant Clint Orance. And we'll also talk with Dr. Jeff Kushner from the Eisenhower Center about traumatic brain injury.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Do join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else. On the front lines of freedom, dismissed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Investors, you know the age-old rule about diversifying your investments. That's because they all take turns rising and falling. And with the stock market long-tooth rally, we are all talking about not if, but when it falls. So what might be a good hedge? Well, gold has been the choice of many investors since forever. And furthermore, if you want to diversify your IRA, you need a trustee that not only allows it, but has experience, has been offering gold in IRAs for years, also silver. Check out Gold Goliath. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Ask them the tough questions. Call them at 800-517-3195 to get the information you need to make an informed decision about adding gold or silver to your IRA. Call Gold Goliath at 800-517-3195. That's 800-517-3195 or online at goldgoliath.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMester.
President Trump calls for a solution on DACA, meeting with members of Congress today, saying he wants to protect dreamers but also tighten immigration rules and build a border wall. Republicans agree with that proposal, while Democrats only want a path to citizenship for dreamers. It's tense in the Middle East as our Secretary of State pays a visit.
The escalation of military clashes against Israel by the Iranian regime comes as Secretary of State Rex Tillerson lands in the Middle East to speak with Turkish leaders and discuss rebuilding efforts in Iraq. There's no word yet on whether Tillerson will address Iran's military infiltration in the region, which poses a direct threat to U.S. allies such as Israel or the Kurds, who have been targets of Iranian and Turkish military campaigns in Syria and Iraq.
That's Jennifer Breeden. Mainstream media outlets continue praising Kim Jong-un's sister at the 2018 Winter Olympics, commenting on her elegant demeanor and smile, but experts warn against that as she heads the regime's propaganda initiative, which has brainwashed its people. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
On February 16th, from PureFlix,
Samson, chosen by the living God,
a hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 16th. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
The Pentagon receives the biggest budget request in recent times on Monday, with more than $700 billion to add thousands of new troops, new weapons, higher pay and benefits, and upgrade existing resources. It's also believed to be more in defense spending than the two nations cited as America's biggest threats, China and Russia, combined spending. The money, part of the Trump administration's $4.4 trillion budget request, would provide the Pentagon $617 billion in its base budget and about $60 billion for overseas operations accounts. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders emphasizing Monday that the president supports victims of domestic violence, a statement that comes as the West Wing's response to former aide Rob Porter enters its second week. The president supporting victims of domestic violence, she says, believing that anybody should be treated fairly and with due process. The comment coming after Trump told reporters in the Oval Office on Friday that the White House hopes Porter, who has been accused of abusing two of his ex-wives, has a wonderful career. Critics say the president's remarks coming off as tone deaf. This is USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
The Foundation for Individual Rights, known as FIRE, releases the list of America's 10 worst colleges for free speech. John Clements has more.
Each year, colleges across the country find dubious ways to silence student and faculty expression. I spoke to Marika Todhill-Bakun of FIRE, who tells us the annual list that is on their website has a dual purpose.
One, put pressure on the schools to make changes, but also to highlight the trends that we see at college campuses nationwide to bring attention to some of the ways that free speech does come under attack.
I'm John Clemens.
If you've been around for a while, you'll remember a popular comedian that's just passed away, USA Radio's Chris Barnes.
Kinky-haired, baby-faced Marty Allen rose to fame as half of the comedy duo Allen and Rossi in the 50s and 60s, but he and partner Steve Rossi amicably split in 1968, and Allen began a solo comedy career.
I come back here right in the lot outside. A woman walks over. You're really Marty Allen? Yes, ma'am. Is this the way you look when you're not on television? Yes, ma'am. Thank goodness. I thought there was something wrong with my glasses.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
President Trump calls for a solution on DACA, meeting with members of Congress today, saying he wants to protect dreamers but also tighten immigration rules and build a border wall. Republicans agree with that proposal, while Democrats only want a path to citizenship for dreamers. It's tense in the Middle East as our Secretary of State pays a visit.
The escalation of military clashes against Israel by the Iranian regime comes as Secretary of State Rex Tillerson lands in the Middle East to speak with Turkish leaders and discuss rebuilding efforts in Iraq. There's no word yet on whether Tillerson will address Iran's military infiltration in the region, which poses a direct threat to U.S. allies such as Israel or the Kurds, who have been targets of Iranian and Turkish military campaigns in Syria and Iraq.
That's Jennifer Breeden. Mainstream media outlets continue praising Kim Jong-un's sister at the 2018 Winter Olympics, commenting on her elegant demeanor and smile, but experts warn against that as she heads the regime's propaganda initiative, which has brainwashed its people. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
On February 16th,